This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
I believe that the president is a citizen. I believe the president is a Christian. I'll take him at his word.
This bill will write into permanent law a policy on which there's been strong popular and congressional agreement for over 35 years. The federal government should not use tax dollars to support or promote elective abortion.
This legislation represents an entirely new front in the war against women and their families.
The church bigwigs of today probably wouldn't allow Paul to preach in any congregation. Weakness? Fear? Trembling? You've got to be kidding.
Moms in Ohio love Issues, etc.
I remember getting an email from a listener several years back, and they assumed that, golly, here's this pastor on the radio. He seems like such a nice guy. He must have a very mature and extensive devotional life throughout the course of the week. Well, you know, I was working a full-time job doing radio, and they were surprised at my response. They wanted to know, what is your devotional life? What does it look like? And at the time, the only answer I could really give was, well, it looks like Sunday morning. I mean, this is the heart and center of my devotional life. And sometimes those gifts that are given on Sunday morning by God, sometimes they find their way out into the other 167 hours of the year, and sometimes, sad to say, they don't. But that must and always remain the center of the Christian's life, the divine service. We're going to be talking about the liturgy at home, living the church year at home with your family. Pastor Heath Curtis joins us here for the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Monday, 21st of February. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. For the next 2 hours, you can join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet, @issuesetc. A little bit later, we're going to be asking the question, I want your answer. It's Albert Pujols, famous first baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals, and as yet unsigned for an extension on his contract, asking for, at last count, $300 million over 10 years. Is he just being greedy? I want your answer to that question in the second hour of the program. Tim Townsend will join us in the second hour to talk about Albert Pujols, Christianity, and greed. Then open lines, is Albert being greedy? After that, we'll talk with Dr. Andrew Bartelt. We'll continue our series on women in the Bible today. We'll talk about Mrs. Isaiah. She's called the prophetess and will be mostly in Isaiah chapter 8. Oh, by the way, in the second half hour of the program, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We'll talk about Jesus teaching us to trust. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, author of a new publication, Daily Divine Service Book. Heath, welcome back.
Always good to be here.
What do you mean by living the church year?
Well, just as you were talking about with that example of someone who asked you about your devotional life, you know, us pastors, we are often very spoiled in that we are paid to be in the Word day in and day out. Even if we're naturally lazy, as most of us are, we're just forced into it because we are thrust into situations where the Word of God just has to speak. You know, we're helping someone who's sick, who's dying of cancer. Well, we're going to bring the Word of God to that. So we're just in the Word all the time. What about your average, ordinary family? They go to church on Sunday morning. What does the rest of their week look like? And I contend that the best way for a family to live in the Word is to live from Sunday to Sunday, to take what they're hearing, what they're learning, what they're praying on Sunday morning, and bring that into their devotional life. And then, you know, at some point in the week, you begin to turn and begin to look forward to the next Sunday. And that and that therefore you're living from the Lord's table. You're living from the words and the prayers that are preparing you to come to the Lord's table, and you're bringing that into your family life and letting that Word of God operate on you, not just on Sunday, but Sunday kind of invades that your secular week.
So there isn't church stuff, Sunday stuff, and week stuff, that is week, W-E-E-K, week stuff, home stuff.
Exactly, exactly. And so what the book that I put together originally started as something that just a pastor needs. Currently, if a pastor needs to take communion to someone who's sick or in the nursing home, it's actually very hard to do because you know, there was no one resource that I could take that had everything I needed for a divine service. You know, the introit, the prayer of the day, the collect, the epistle reading, the gospel reading, the gradual, the verse, the tract, a hymn. All that stuff was spread across at least three books. I needed a hymnal. I needed the altar book. I needed the lectionary. Or I needed to try to mark my Bible with different sticky notes and hope I didn't, you know, et cetera. And so pretty early in my ministry, I began to put together a resource, which in other traditions, they have this. They just call it a missal, the book you need for Mass, the book you need for the divine service. And so you could find a Roman Catholic missal. You could find an Anglican missal, but there was no Lutheran missal. And so I put that together, and it's a great resource for pastors, especially for the shut-in call, because it makes that very easy. But now I find that it is a fantastic way for laity to live from Sunday to Sunday. You know, for example, this past week, if your church is observing the historic lectionary was Septuagesima, 70 days out from Easter. And there's more to that week than just the readings, than just the gospel. It flows from the gospel, and this is another thing that that living in the liturgy in your weekly devotional life will teach you, is that the liturgy in the church on Sunday morning is seeking to teach you something, but more than teach you something. It's seeking to teach you how to live in that something. It's calling you into Jesus' divine life. And so, for example, this past week was Septuagesima Sunday. The gospel lesson is all about the workers in the vineyard. The master goes out and he calls some of the third hour, some of the sixth, the ninth, the 11th hour. They all receive the same wage. The message is, you're saved by God's grace alone. But then as you begin to read the rest of the liturgy for that week and let it all come together, you find that there's even more there. The gradual for that week, for example, the Lord will also be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And all the little prayers, the introit, the gradual, the tract for that week, are all about how we are oppressed and alone apart from the Lord. And then the gospel teaches you that what's oppressing us is our work. What's oppressing us is our desire to earn something from the Lord. And it's that kind of lesson. I put it to you this way. This is what your pastor is doing all week long, or what we ought to be doing. Letting the next week's liturgy teach us what the gospel lesson is all about. And then if I'm faithful and I spend a good week of doing that, sometime later in the week, I write a sermon that I maybe get down two or three of those ideas. And then I save the rest for next year and don't write a sermon. No. I prepare again next year, maybe get two or three more of those ideas. That is a rich way for any layperson, for any family, to live their devotional life. But to do that, you need to have all of those things together in one place, not just the gospel lesson, the Old Testament lesson, and the epistle lesson, but you need the gradual. You need the verse of the day, you need the collect, you need the introit to really hear everything the church is trying to teach you through the lectionary.
With about a minute and a half before we take a break, talk about the value of the individual Christian, the Christian family, being guided in the footsteps of the church, so to speak. That is, right. We're not just randomly opening our Bible and sticking our finger down saying, okay, I guess I'm going to read this now. But to walk in the footsteps that have been well trod for centuries.
The first thing it will do is protect you from yourself. You are going to develop your own favorite Bible verses, your own favorite way of thinking about the faith, and you need to be pushed outside of that. For example, I would never, ever, ever choose to preach on the parable of the unjust steward. I find that very difficult to preach on. What does Jesus mean with this parable? But every year, I have to struggle with that because there it is in the lectionary. Likewise, in your devotional life, you need to be protected from that, being too selective. The other thing, though, that we need to be protected from is the great shotgun approach. Reading the whole Bible every year is a very good discipline, but woe betide you if you also lose sight of the trees for the sake of the forest. You know, the Bible is about Jesus. The lectionary keeps you connected to that. The lectionary is going to teach you to find Jesus on every page while you're reading your whole Bible in a year or whole Bible in 2 years. It's going to keep your laser-like focus there on Christ and his cross, telling his story to you week in and week out and over the course of the year.
Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest on this Monday afternoon, February the 21st. We're talking about the liturgy at home, living the church here at home with your family. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, author of a new publication, Daily Divine Service Book. When we come back, we're going to talk about why it is important to allow, and he's mentioned it several times here, the gospel reading, which stands at the very center or one of the centers of Sunday morning and ought to be. It really guides, if you stop and look at every little part of the divine service on Sunday morning, it is all being guided by the gospel reading, by the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, why this is a great way to be guided every day of the week. We'll be right back.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by and feed them on your dream.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that he won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through his word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. Talking about the liturgy at home, living the church here at home with your family. You've mentioned this several times. that the gospel reading itself, that which is the chief reading for a Sunday morning, which really is the guides everything that happens on any particular Sunday morning in the liturgy, that it is also the chief reading throughout the course of the week. Why is that so very important?
Because the way the whole liturgy is structured, the whole lectionary of the church year, it's structured into two big halves. From Advent to Pentecost, tells the story of Jesus and invites you into the story of Jesus every year, all those festivals. The church year is basically chronological from Christmas to Pentecost. And then the second half of the year, that Trinity season, that long Trinity season, we focus more on the teachings of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus, the actions of Jesus in his ministry and the teaching of his apostles. So if you will walk with the church and be guided by the church, every year you are going to walk the path with Jesus from Bethlehem to the empty tomb, and then you're going to sit at Jesus' feet and listen and learn from his teaching and from his apostles. And that is just going to put down anchors in your heart and in your mind of what the core of the scriptural message really is. And that's something that you can't do even with, if you could read the whole Bible every day, you would not be as well prepared spiritually. You would not be as knowledgeable of the things that matter as you would if you live with the church's liturgy over the course of a year, because the church is selective in what it puts on Sunday morning, especially in those gospel lessons, that these are the things, this forms the theme of the week. This is the thing that you need to know from the mouth of Jesus this week. Learn this thing this week, and then the next week I'll have another one for you, and the next week another, and I'll build you into that yearly rhythm.
This is very different, in fact, probably backwards from the way many Christians think we should approach the Bible. They have kind of, we would have said in the old days, an encyclopedia way of approaching the Bible. I have a subject, I'm going to look it up.
Right.
And I bring my situation, my subject, my curiosity to the Bible, and then I look up pertinent passages.
Right.
Or today we just call it kind of a Google approach to the Bible.
Right.
Just search for, and it can be done, of course. You're saying through the mouth of the church here and its historic liturgy, instead of saying, what do I want to know from the Bible today, we let the Bible speak first and shape what we need to hear.
Exactly. And the place I learned this was very early in my ministry. My father confessor, Pastor Ralph Taus up in Chicago, I started to notice that every time I went to confession and received the absolution, then there's a place in the confession and absolution liturgy where at the end it says, you know, and the pastor will know other words of comfort to speak to you or whatnot. And every week I noticed that his word of comfort to me was from that previous Sunday's gospel lesson. That's what got me started to think about this, and I realized that that's not only a great way to conduct your ministry, that you always have a word of God for someone, but then that's a great way for every Christian to live their devotional life. Don't leave that gospel there on Sunday. You know, in the if you look in the front cover of an old book, you know, that CPH published in the 1930s or something, or even a book today, you might open it up and in the preface, right, the author will have, you know, written a preface to his book, signed his name, and then underneath it, it might say, Monday in the third week of Lent, right? I mean, that is what I encourage people to think of. I mean, this orders our time, and so we don't, I didn't leave Septuagesima at church yesterday. You know, that's still with me. This, I'm still thinking about grace alone this week. Boy, that is the big theme from this past week's liturgy. I'm thinking about that. I thought about it the last half of last week. As we get toward Wednesday or Thursday, now as a pastor, I need to start looking ahead to next Sunday, which is going to be Sexagesima and the Word alone, how the Word comes to people's hearts and causes faith to grow. And what does it mean that God scatters, you know, the seed is the word, and he scatters it everywhere. God doesn't care where it falls. I'm going to start to think about what that means and how I need to be in the Word. And then the next week is faith alone. And then we're into Lent and the temptation of Jesus. And then we're into learning about prayer and the Canaanite woman. And it just rolls along. And if you will walk with the church, walk through those Gospels every week, and study those Gospels every week, learn to live in them every week, that is that's worth a year of seminary. Let's put it that way. You know, I think our seminary training would be greatly enriched if it were kind of also based around Sunday morning. You know, seminary is kind of the Google approach as well. You know, we've got all these but how people really live their life is week to week, day to day. What do I need to know this week? What do I need to be thinking about? That's what's happening on Sunday. Bring it with you into your home, into your prayer life, into what scriptures you memorize, into what you're teaching your kids that week.
Probably the biggest obstacle here for the layman who wants to bring this into do exactly living from Sunday morning to Sunday morning with their family in their home is they simply just don't feel qualified to handle the material, so to speak.
Right.
Pastor, you've been trained to do this. You're at home in these forms. I love them at church, but I don't know if I can pull this off
right
at home.
Well, this book makes it easy because it's just all there together. So, you know, I'm looking at a page here for the ninth Sunday after Trinity, and what it has is everything laid out, the introit, the collect of the day, the first lesson, the gradual, the epistle, the verse, and the gospel lesson. You don't need any special training to pray that week's collect every day with your family as part of your devotional life. If you're using Portals of Prayer, you're using the Treasury of Daily Prayer, great. This kind of discipline fits right on top of that, or it can be a new discipline. But pray the collect from Sunday morning that the pastor prayed for all the people. You keep praying it all week long. And then also return to one of the readings every day that week. And they'll begin to, there's no trick to it. It's just you lay those texts side by side again, and stuff's going to start popping out at you. For example, here's the introit for the ninth Sunday after Trinity. The gospel reading for that day is the rich man and Lazarus. And so let's imagine you've just read the story of rich man and Lazarus. It's very familiar. We know what it is. But now put that right together with the introit. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Who's praying that? Right? That's Lazarus. I remember the first time I was studying to preach on this text, that popped right out at me. Now, I hadn't noticed it before in church, because I hear the introit first thing in church, and then a bunch of stuff happens, and then I get down to the gospel. But when you start to let this invade your daily devotional life, those things are going to pop out at you all the time. There's no trick to it. It's just put the text together, read, see what comes out.
Two quick final questions. One, if my pastor isn't even doing this on Sunday morning, if he's just preaching a sermon series on sex or whatever happens to suit his fancy, and we have abandoned the guidance of the church in this form there, this is going to be really difficult to live from Sunday to Sunday because I don't know what's coming next Sunday.
Well, you need to find a new church. you know, if your pastor's pulling that on you, I mean, you do not have to be in the ministry very long to learn one important lesson. And that is that you are a weak, sinful being. Very early, I think in everyone's ministry, the Lord is kind enough to kind of bash us around to teach us that lesson. I mean, I can think in my mind very specifically what that was early in my ministry, where I learned I didn't have all the answers. I was not adequate to this task. I shouldn't be choosing what's going to happen on Sunday morning. But this discipline will also teach you that.
Yeah. Finally, then, your new publication, Daily Divine Service, how can it help us live, as you say, from Sunday to Sunday?
Right. This is going to have everything you need in one place to bring everything that was prayed, everything that was read on Sunday morning. You've now got it in one place. You can open up and go through every Sunday as well as all the saints' days, all together. And that's why it's the most convenient thing for a pastor at Shut-In Calls, for a family in their devotional life. And it also, for those who are interested, in the middle of the book is the divine service itself, with all the ceremonies, all the actions that the pastor does, all the prayers that he's saying up front. And so for those who are interested in learning more about the mechanics and the ceremonies of the liturgy, that's all in there as well. So it's a good study document. But the main thing that I enjoy it for now is having all those readings in one place so that that Sunday morning invades my Monday and my Tuesday and so forth.
Folks, you can find out more about Daily Divine Service Book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, and author of the Daily Divine Service Book. Thanks again.
Always good to be here.
When we come back, Pam Nielsen will join us. We'll talk about Jesus teaching us to trust. We'll stay in the Sermon on the Mount. Stay tuned.
And the evening meal was done. Dad would read to us from the family Bible.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Independent and in the black for 2 years and running, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
By now, hopefully you've heard about the many Planned Parenthood abortion mills caught on video aiding an underage sex ring. A woman and man posing as a prostitute and her boss filmed their encounters with Planned Parenthood staff. The undercover video showed the staff assisting the human trafficking of teens. They helped them secure secret abortions and treatments for sexually transmitted diseases. This comes at a time when Congress is looking for ways to cut spending. Planned Parenthood gets over $350 million tax dollars a year, and they're clearly using it to break the law and victimize our children. If you'd like to watch the videos, visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. While there, sign on to an effort to demand Congress stop funding Planned Parenthood.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.